Hi everyone. Today we have Shruti Pandey, who is from Structure, which is a company that is producing eco-friendly construction materials. She graduated from NYU and after a fellowship jumped straight into this startup. And I'm so glad to have her here and talk a little bit more about what she has been doing and how she got here. Thank you very much, Shruti, for joining us today.
Thank you, Vivek.
So, yeah, I mean, you finished your master's in construction at NYU and you had a fellowship and then you got into this startup straight away. What was your motivation to get started with this?
So the fellowship that I did was sort of the inflection point for me. So I was in US for 3 years till 2016 and then moved back for a year. At that point, I was pretty much thinking that I would go back to the US. After the fellowship, it just happened that the fellowship led to certain experiences which were very difficult to unlearn, almost impossible, which was, witnessing stubble burning, not just once, but like throughout the season in different patches of land and with the community you're living and staying and spending time day in, day out. So that's when you see it so closely that how it's affecting them. Like we get concerned about our health and lungs in Delhi, but the farmer who's actually burning is the one who's inhaling the most of that air. So when you see that happening so closely, that gets to you. So after the fellowship got over, did not decide to go back, thought I would let just study a little more about the problem, because the problem seemed interesting to me from two point of view, that A, it's such a massive problem. Second, it's related to farmers. And in a country like India, where, everyone's thinking about farmers from the point of view of policy, anything that happens around them gets the news, then why is something like this yet doesn't have like a permanent solution? And that made me realize that the problem doesn't have a permanent solution because it can't be addressed with policies. It can't be addressed by bans. Those are all band-aid solutions. You need to find a way to pay a farmer more than they need to spend to clear off the land with the stubble. And if that is not done, then nothing would work, which is where I thought that a market-based approach or idea, which is business, that can, keep paying farmer for that because there's value to that raw material, which is currently a waste, would lead to a long-term solution that led to the start of Structure. And that's where we started looking at how we can buy this raw material from farmers, pay them more than they need to spend, and keep doing it in a consistent manner and build a long-term profitable business. And that business ended up being in buildings because of my construction background. So we looked at a value, waste to value chain in buildings versus some other sector. But the genesis of the idea was the experience that I had.
Awesome. So, this problem that you saw with straw being requiring burning because they needed to get on with the next round of planting.
Right.
And it's something that's all pervasive even today. I mean, all the time you have this issue of straw burning, and every winter there is this issue in Delhi of smoke because of straw being burned. I understand where the genesis started, but what was the process going from just realizing that, hey, there's straw here and we can do something with it to actually turning that into something that the construction industry could use?
Sure. That was sort of almost a year-long journey for us, from, as you said, having that idea and creating a commercially compliant product to sell in an industry which is one of the most compliant, heavy, rigid industry, buildings, construction. So it started with trying to talk to more farmers to understand how can we streamline the value chain. Parallelly, took a lot of research, firstly, basically on internet, then meeting a couple of manufacturers who were somehow in some scale or capacity have tried to do something with straw, might not have been successful, but had some understanding because I'm from construction, but my background is not materials and manufacturing. So for me also, it was a complete learning curve from, starting from zero. So met a lot of manufacturers, not just in India, but Europe, Japan, traveled in that year across and came to understand how some people are able to compress this straw into building materials that end up being resistant to weather, are durable. Took some of that knowledge. Thankfully, some of them were open source, so they were willing to share. Then worked with a couple of labs in India. There is like Building Material Research Institute in Bhopal. There is CBRE in Roorkee, IIT Roorkee. So met a lot of professors. There has been, you'll be surprised to know that there's a lot of academic paper written on converting stubble and biomass to building materials like blocks and panels. It's just that, unfortunately, a lot of it has never been commercialized. So met the professors who had written those papers, and that all culminated into creating a prototype after 9 months in a lab. And then from there, finding a manufacturer who could work with us to do it at an industrial level. So it took full 12 months for us to have a full 8x4 panel made out of 96% straw, and to be able to take it to an architect or a developer and say this could replace the mainstream material. But a year literally went into prototyping, testing. In our industry, you cannot sell anything before you're fully compliant. So it's not a process that can happen later or parallel. So you have to spend all of that time and resource, have a product ISI, BIS approved before you even take it to someone to test. All of that was done in a year. And then in 2020, we finally had in January our first pilot project where we tested the panel and made a two-room house out of it on a patch of land that was given by a friend. And from there, we found more use cases.
Awesome. So you had something that was like a gypsum board, which was made out of straw, and
Right.
you had to learn from a lot of people and put this whole thing together, and also then manufacture this in India because the raw material is emanating out of India. Given this whole process that you went through, when you did take this to the market, what was the reaction like? You know, did people really converge towards this solution, or there was a lot of skepticism amongst people who were constructing, architects, etc.?
So when we did our first pilot, Vivek, with that house, and we sort of, did like an inauguration ceremony and thought that we'll just invite a bunch of architects, interior designers, some, influent people in the city, and just like let them have a look. What we realized was that the biggest apprehension people had was about how can this product be compared to brick? Because in India, 90% of buildings are made of brick. As you mentioned, gypsum is a very Western way of building drywall construction. We are only 10% of Indian buildings are made using gypsum right now. So 90% is still brick and mortar. So the biggest concern was, will someone, break into my house and steal? Which is something not as someone in London or UK would ever, ask you for a material as a concern. It was first that, then termite, then moisture, then fire. So we realized that more than anything, people were really concerned about, will this last? And as Indians, we really build our homes and offices to last, if not multiple, at least one generation. We don't change it every 10, 20 years, which is why, as you said, the panel that we have designed and engineered is more durable than gypsum for the reason that otherwise it would have not taken up by the Indian consumer because our psyche is just different. So we created a much more denser, more durable product and did a lot of mock-ups. We must have done about 10 trials, some paid, where we collaborated with a couple of NGOs and CSR who were willing to be the test bed first versus a commercial architect, then found few of them who were more, you can say early adopters in terms of caring enough about sustainability. So we had to do a lot of trials across the country from up north till Uttarakhand to Cochin, northeast, to prove that this can be used in any part of the country, a country like India, which is so diverse, not just in culture, but weather patterns as well. And then so 2020 was also a, so 2020 was a trial year where we didn't do a lot of revenue, but we did a lot of paid trials. And it really picked up in 2021, where we started seeing that conversion where commercial architects were willing to spec it, contractors were willing to use it, who were otherwise using gypsum, plywood, or brick. But it took a, like there was a decent 2 year gestation period, especially in a business which is 100% hardware. I think you do take that period of gestation because things like just the risk is too high. It's all very tangible things that people are paying for and risking, even in terms of safety. You're going to live in a house, you're going to be working in an office for 10 hours. You don't want your ceiling to break, right, on you. So we understood that we are entering an industry which is not used to innovation. And to make people change their behavior, they just need some amount of time to see things out there, be tested. And then the adoption happens. And once it happens, the good thing about rigid industries is because they've never seen too much innovation, once there is something, a lot of people are willing to copy what the other person is doing. So we were never competing with another green product. We were just competing, or still are competing, with the mainstream ideology. So once you kick in and people are willing to accept you, The adoption is steep, but the initial period is very slow.
Right. I mean, in my experience, I have only seen gypsum boards being used for internal separators inside offices, and I rarely ever seen the entire structure be constructed out of it. As you mentioned, in the West, it's quite prevalent. Have you tried tapping into the Western markets with this product?
Yes, so last year, after being fully compliant by Indian standards, being able to even, work with a couple of bigger corporates and PMCs, we did some trials in UK, and this year we have a distributor now in London and one in Italy, and we are looking at exports being one of the like big contributor to our revenue and growth, because the European market especially is already primed for sustainability. Like, that understanding is now in place, it's mature. You don't have to, when you're talking to anybody, you don't have to explain why you're doing this. In India, you still have to first explain why this versus something. So that acceptance is there. It's just that you have to be more, palatable, commercially viable, easily to use. But the concern about the technology in itself is not there. So we believe that that acceptance in export will actually drive the domestic growth, because we would, like a lot of architects in India, look up to what is being done in UK or US in Europe or Singapore. And if they see more such green buildings coming up, it helps them take more risk as well and design with newer materials. So we do believe that export will drive domestic adoption.
So you sort of launched this product in 2020-21, which was probably the worst of the
Yes.
pandemic times. And so how challenging was that, given that this is very hardware? Like, people have to come see this, they have to know what the hell this is. It's not something that you can just sell online, right? I mean.
No, we still, there's nothing that we sell online. And you're right that when COVID hit for us for 2 months, the complete business was shut down because there was no component of our work that was online. We all would come to office, meet architects physically. We didn't know how to even operate in that period. While I'm sure a lot of us, like a lot of other businesses, went through that. But touch wood, it definitely was that period where I think when there's crisis, there was an opportunity. So in 2021, we actually had a best year in terms of revenue. We did a lot of healthcare projects. So we got this, random call from one of the foundations saying that we have to build two COVID hospitals in less than 60 months, and we can't do it with brick and mortar. So we are evaluating modular prefab technology, and we saw that your panels are prefab and green too. So can we do this? If it was normal times, I don't think anyone would have cared to, give a chance to such a new company. And it
Right.
was Nagaland, Manipur, Orissa, and Bihar, like, sort of difficult states to work in, all four. And we did four COVID hospitals that year. So our revenue grew 2021 and 2022 100% year-on-year. And when we did healthcare, which is much difficult space to work in post-COVID, it was easy to tap into offices and schools, which are much easier spaces to create a case study. So whenever we tell people we have done COVID hospital, that sort of just builds more acceptance for the product in a geography like Manipur. And then saying, okay, if they can use it there, why can't you use it in Bombay or Delhi? In a completely dry office space. So that really makes architects think that, yeah, we should be taking a little more risk than we are. So COVID year was actually in that way a boon for us to really show that, the genuine benefit of using such materials. And even the government, so one of the COVID hospital that we did was actually through the government. There was a special agency formed by the central government where they decided to make 50 hospitals in different parts of the country which was lacking health infrastructure completely. And they were willing to test 10 new technologies which were faster versus brick and mortar. And this was directly through the principal scientific advisory. So we got directly in touch with them, and they said, go ahead. It doesn't hurt. You make two of the hospitals out of 50 that we have budget for. So you would not in normal scenario see something being done or even being done at that pace.
There's always an opportunity hiding everywhere. It's heartening to hear that. So, given where you are at currently, and this journey that you've come through, what are the things that you're seeing? What are the trends that you're noticing now, in terms of Indian adoption, overseas adoption?
So one thing that we have seen specifically happening in Indian scenario is that Now, bigger, multinational architectural firms are trying to follow a global standard of design, where the global standard of design in last few years says that you need to build in a way that 20-30% of your materials is green. Your energy efficiency of the building should be of a certain threshold, which is now making them go back to the drawing board and relook at what they were purchasing or procuring, because otherwise procurement was just driven from a factor of cost. Like, you buy what is cost effective. But now, sustainability, VOC emission, how will that material contribute to the indoor air quality? These are becoming not just softer, but a written mandate for architects to look at while they are doing procurement. And this has become more and more prevalent post-COVID. So now that creates a great situation for a young company like us to go and say that we don't just, take other boxes, but these four as well. And you get spec'd into business or interior projects where otherwise you would not even think you could get in. Like in Europe, in Germany, in France in particular, now there is a policy in place that says that every homeowner has to passively insulate their homes in Germany post the Ukraine crisis, the
Right.
war that happened, because they realize that if they don't insulate homes well, then the amount of heating that they have to do in winters, they don't have enough coal to depend on. And the political situation is going to make it difficult to source coal reliably. So now every homeowner is given subsidy by the German government to insulate well. So there is this, softer policies and harder, clear mandates in place, which is making architects look at, okay, if I have to insulate, it can't be any material synthetic. It has to be material that is thermally insulated, which by default makes a natural fiber more insulating to choose and work with. So hemp, for instance, in US has really picked up in last 5 years for insulation. In Europe, it's cellulose-based insulation or cork-based insulation. In India, we have seen acceptance for our product. So that is really happening, where there's a sort of a push from policies and standards. And secondly, consumers, I would say, like we are in B2B, we're not B2C, but even in B2B, we have seen corporate companies like tech companies or financial institutions telling the architects that, I can't anymore build a non-LEED certified building. If I am like a Facebook today cannot have a non-green building. You all know the new Apple store that opened in Bombay that had to be green. Like it can't be an option anymore for Apple to not build sustainably with their brand. So such Fortune 500 bigger companies, now when they are expanding the physical footprint, could be the retail store, could there be own warehouses, they have to look at seeing where they can reduce the carbon footprint, because the scope 3 emission is something that all bigger corporates are now dealing with and how to address. And carbon credit can also only do so much. You have to address some of it by changing your own way of, running your value chain. So that is where the consumer is okay to try something. The architect anyway is looking at newer standards to incorporate. So when that push and pull is there, it's easier for newer technologies to come in and compete with. And in our space, our competitors are, if not more, minimum 100-year-old brands. Like we all know Century or USB Boral, Saint-Gobain's. These are all mainstream brands that are so old. So a younger company can only get in when there is a climate where people have to do things a certain way. There has to be that policy shift. And post-COVID, we have strongly seen that happening, not just in Europe, US, but even in India. Like the new plastic credits, for example, EPR, that has just gotten in place. Now, all consumer brands that use plastic can get plastic credits if they upcycle and recycle their plastic. Now, there is a way to upcycle plastic waste and make panels out of it as a replacement of plywood. That policy will make more people care about using those panels versus plywood, because it will make it more viable because of the credits. So 2026, government is planning to have their own Indian green credit scheme as well. So all of these things are going to make sustainability a must to have versus a good to have standard in business. And that will definitely drive such businesses forward.
Awesome. I mean, thank you so much, Shriti, for sharing all of these insights with us. It's a great startup that you're building, and I hope that you're able to raise a lot of money and scale quickly and put an end to stubble burning altogether across the country. Thank you so much for making this time once again,
Thank
and
you.
it was great to have you here.
Same here. Thank you. Thanks, Vivek.